Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Christy, and I'm reading the MRT for Friday, March 24th, 2023. Leslie's Place provides health care for everyone. Clinic Inside Casa de Amigos pays tribute to Leslie Hendricks Wood will be resource for the uninsured by Ben Schaefer. Leslie's Place, a free community clinic for adults, held its ribbon cutting Wednesday at Casa de Amigos. The partnership between Midland Health, Texas Tech Physicians, and Casa de Amigos was created in the fall of 2022. The clinic offers access to free quality health care for underserved and uninsured Midland adults. According to Leslie's Place, there are 5 exam rooms as well as a lab and pharmacy within the clinic. Dr. Rama Chimitanganti, Texas Tech resident physicians, and Midland's Dr. Gregory Bartha volunteer their time to provide free primary health care. The late Leslie Hendricks Wood was passionate about finding a way to make health care and health education accessible to all, according to the clinic. After she passed away in 2021, her husband Lee and her close friends created Leslie's Place and fulfilled her dream. Midland Health CEO Russell Myers and Leslie's Place was the realization of a clearly articulated vision and the product of the rare compassion that Leslie Wood possessed. Bartha said Leslie's Place can be part of a resolution to a problem in Midland. Many people being uninsured, he said around 20% of Midland's population can't receive quality health care because of their lack of insurance. At Leslie's Place, uninsured Midlanders can receive regular checkups, medication, assistance with blood tests, x-rays, and in some cases, referrals to specialists, according to Bartha. In addition to serving Midland's uninsured, Bartha claimed that Leslie's Place would be a great training resource for medical students, like those studying at Texas Tech University. Our expectation is that many people will have better health care because of this. Bartha said, and maybe that the number of emergency room visits will decrease, and the general health of the population will be better. Chimitigani said Midland faces the same problem as the rest of the state, with 1 in 5 residents not having health insurance. We don't consider this a service. We consider this our calling, he said. Because as a strong community, we take care of our own. Chimitigani shared the clinic is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 to 8 p.m. Phone calls and scheduling aren't necessary for patients who can just walk into the clinic and won't be turned down. Eventually, according to Chimitigani, Leslie's Place wants to involve more specialists in the clinic. Chimitigani is a diabetes specialist. Lee Wood was grateful to Myers, Chimitigani, and Bartha for their dedication to the project and allowing Leslie's dream to be fulfilled. He also thanked Casa de Amigos staff for letting the clinic operate in their facility for the time being. Fu hopes for justice in arrest for alleged adversary by Stuart Doreen. China Aid's Bob Fu said this week that he hopes the arrest of exiled Chinese businessman Guo Wengu ends with long overdue justice. The Midland pastor has sued Gu, who Fu believes orchestrated 2020 protests in Midland accusing Fu of being a spy for the Chinese government, for defamation, stalking, assault, and other complaints. Glad this finally happened, Fu wrote in an email to the Reporter Telegram, I hope long overdue justice will be done to hold this evildoer and his CCP perpetrators accountable in the court of law. Last week, the U.S. government charged Guo with leading a complex conspiracy to defraud Guo's online followers out of more than $1 billion, according to Reuters. The Reuters report added that Guo, 52, was charged with 11 criminal counts, including securities fraud, wire fraud, and concealment of money laundering after lining his pockets with the money he stole, U.S. Attorney Damian Williams in Manhattan said in a statement. A federal lawsuit Fu filed in November 2020 names Guo, who also goes by the names Mike Kwok and Miles Guo. Guo, Wen Guo's media company, GTV Media Group, and two associates of Guo Wengu, as the perpetrators of a campaign against Fu that included monetary rewards for those who hurt or kill Fu. Guo offered to pay individuals up to $10,000 to participate in attacks against Fu, according to a copy of the lawsuit, which states Fu was briefed on the threats against him by U.S. State Department officials in September 2020. Beginning October 4, 2020, followers of Guo started protesting in front of Fu's home and passing out flyers to his neighbors accusing him of being an operative for the Chinese Communist Party, according to the suit. In addition to inciting protest against Fu, the suit states Guo also published false articles on the GTV website accusing Fu of being a fake pastor, CCP spy, and of bribing Midland officials and committing other crimes. Fu sought damages relating to counts of stalking, defamation, invasion of privacy, assault, private nuisance, and conspiracy, as well as injunctive relief that may include a restraining order. The accusation of assault stems from threats that Guo told his followers, Fu and others, are part of a global kill cheaters campaign and instructed his followers to get rid of Fu. MDC offers history of Western United Life Building. Midland Develop Corporation reports the former largest building downtown even included a 13th floor penthouse by Gabriel Franks for the Midland Develop Corporation. The Midland Develop Corporation offers a history of the Western United Life Building. Workers tethered on ropes inside worked to clear caulking and window frames in the Western United Life Building on July 13, 2020. There's nothing new about Midland's nickname, the Tall City. It was coined back in the 1940s when the Midland Reporter-Telegram called the skyline impressive, MRT, September 1948. Emerging from the tumbleweeds and pump jacks, Midland's iconic downtown office towers house energy companies that are the core of the city's economy. Just like the energy industry, Midland's skyline has experienced ups and downs. Some high-rises have been well-kept and upgraded through the years, while others sit vacant or have been demolished. The Western United Life Building is one of the vacant buildings. The tower entered the scene at only five floors. The $1 million project was proposed in the fall of 1947 to the Midland City Council as the McClintock Building. The completion date was set for June 1948 as one of the most modern and attractive buildings in the Southwest and will conform to the attractive appearance of other buildings, which from Midland's impressive skyline, MRT, September 1948. In early 1948, the McClintock's floor plans changed to include an additional floor for a total of six before completion. The building was not completed until January 1949, with tenants including Atlantic Refining Company, Sinclair Prairie Oil Company, and Tide Water Associated Oil Company. A year after its completion in September 1950, a fire roared atop the building at the end of the work week. Thanks to the Midland Fire Department, minimal damage was done to the building. Shortly after the fire, work began on the McClintock Building to add an additional three floors to the building. The headline for this section in the Midland Reporter-Telegram read, "Another skyscraper," as it would be the largest building so far in downtown Midland at 101 feet by 140 feet. Sometime after the fire, more floors were added to bring the building to its current 12 floors with a 13th floor penthouse. After the 1950s, the building would undergo a number of name changes from the Petroleum Life Building to finally the Western United Life Building. In the growing Facebook group Old Midlands, several members recalled their own time of their parents' time spent in this building working for businesses such as Best Yet Answering Service, GEOSEC, Mosley Petroleum, Subsurface Library, Petroleum Life Insurance Company and the restaurant Beef Delight. The plunge in oil prices in the 1980s struck a blow to downtown office occupancy, and tenants in the Western United Life building dwindled until the building became vacant in the early 1990s. For more than three decades, the Western United Life building has been empty, watching over Midland's growth while the building slowly decayed. Tragedy struck in the building in 2017, leading to the loss of a young life. In 2018, the Midland Development Corporation purchased the building with the initiative to revitalize downtown. Multiple efforts were made to redevelop the property, but the cost of renovating 180,000 square feet proved insurmountable. In 2022, the Board of Directors of the Midland Development Corporation and the Midland City Council approved contracts to demolish all the structures on the block downtown, bounded by North Big Spring Street, West Illinois Avenue, North Colorado Street, and West Texas Avenue. Those structures include the West United Life Building and the former West Texas Gas Buildings. After the demolition of the Western United Life Building on Saturday, there will be a blank slate of nearly 2 acres for something new to enter our ever-improving downtown. The City of Midland and the Midland Development Corporation have issued a request for proposals for the redevelopment of the block and are keeping a project that will fit the aesthetic of downtown Midland while providing new amenities for Midland residents and visitors. More information about the RFP can be found through the City Purchasing Office or at the LoopNet listing. Midland gas prices move closer to state average, by Ben Schaefer. Midland has dropped to the fifth highest gas price average in Texas after numerous weeks as the second highest, AAA Texas reported Thursday. The statewide average for the second week in a row remained at $3.06, while Midland sits at $3.08 after a 5-cent decrease from a week ago. The spread to 2 cents between the state average and the average in Midland is as low as it has been in recent memory. The spread between Midland and Odessa also remains consistent, 7 cents, as Odessa saw a 6-cent decrease to $3.01. Gas prices in West Texas fluctuated this week, according to the organization. Lubbock is home to the lowest gas price statewide of the 27 largest Texas metro areas AAA Texas surveys, 2.90 after a decrease of 8 cents. Other prices include $3.24 in El Paso, a 9-cent decrease, $2.94 in Amarillo, a 12-cent decrease, $2.97 in San Angelo, a 1-cent decrease, and a $3 in Abilene, a 6-cent increase. Despite high demand for fuel over the spring break holiday period, the statewide fuel price average is holding steady week to week. AAA Texas spokesperson Daniel Armbruster said, if strong demand continues, retail fuel prices could increase in the coming weeks. The switch over to more expensive summer blend gasoline is also underway, and that tends to drive prices up about 5 to 15 cents more per gallon. Midland sits behind El Paso, Dallas, $3.16, Fort Worth, Arlington, $3.16, and Sherman, Denison, $3.12, as the fifth highest gas price statewide, according to AAA Texas. Midland's average gas price a year ago was $4.03. Texas continues to drop in the nationwide gas price ranks. After being the state with the cheapest gas prices for many weeks, it dropped to third 2 weeks ago, fourth a week ago, and now sits at sixth behind Mississippi, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, and Kansas. MAA Spring Art Show on display at Museum of the Southwest by Morgan Taylor Thomas. In conjunction with the organization's mission of offering opportunities for Midland artists to display their work to the public, the Midland Arts Association's annual spring show currently sits for the community's viewing pleasure in the Turner Mansion at the Museum of the Southwest. MAA President Liz Bartlett Culp told the Reporter Telegram the two crews started working together in 1978, only 13 years after the Arts Association formed. The juried aspect of the show means that artists must submit works for acceptance into the show, in this case by emailing photos up to three works, Liz explained. This year, 45 different artists submitted 124 works, but only 34 pieces done by 28 artists made the show. The top four artworks determined by juror judge Matthew Ward, lead curator for the Museum of the Southwest, will receive cash prizes for their accomplishments. Best of show, $1,000. First place, $750. Second place, $500. Third place, $250. Awards will be given at the public reception held April 20th from 6 to 8 p.m. For more information about MAA, please visit maatx.org. A list of artists and their creations can be found below. Artworks on display: Buried Memories by Kayla Barker, film photographs, encaustic wax, oil, mixed media, $950. Pieces of Memories by Kayla Barker, oil, ink, mixed media, $650. One More Lap by Nancy Barnard, oil on canvas, not for sale. The Dogs I Sleep With Now by Carol Briney, oil on masonite, not for sale. Dogwood Blossoms by Diane Brown, oil on canvas, $2,495. Blue Bunny by Rodema Cargill, pastel, $400. Come On This Way by John W. Cooper, oil, not for sale. Casa Grande Dawn by Liz Bartlett Culp, oil on canvas, $1,500. Spherules by John Etheridge, 3D sculpture, $500. Web of Time by Lisa Frosch, acrylic on canvas, $1,550. Sunset, Monahan's Sand Dunes by Jim Getke, photography, $250. Split by Randy Hall, acrylic on canvas, $1,500. Problem on the Plains by Virginia Howell, oil, $600. Blue Dreamscape by Cindy Johnson, cold wax oil, $250. Soul by Leslie Clay, stoneware, $295. Duality by Leslie Clay, stoneware and clear glaze, $375. Suspension by Leslie Clay, stoneware and jute, $325. George by Kathleen Mahoney, photography, $375. Havana Street by Kathleen Mahoney, photography, cyanotype, $475. Untitled Golden Red by Beau Moore, acrylic on canvas, $200. Spirit Walker and Desert Rose by Sharon Navage, intaglio with hand color and collage, $700. First Snow by Charles Pruitt, oil, $1,500. Rose Schaefer Earring by Rachel Ramirez, alcohol ink marks and acrylic on Bristol paper, not for sale. Big Blue by Michael Richardson, ceramic, $400. Tathata, Big Cat. Fool's Gold, Real Gold by Michael Richardson, mixed media, $600. Hey Sis by Cheryl Roosh, oil, $1,150. At Dell's Cafe by Kay Smith, watercolor, $795. Wendy by Daniel Sorensen, white charcoal on tone paper, $900. Bison Morning by Donnie Spencer, pencil drawing on paper, not for sale. The Queen's Knight by Clay Thompson, wood sculpture, $1,850. Waves by Brandon Trejo, acrylic on paper, $1,500. Amarillo Vase by Jesse Trejo, ceramic, not for sale. Salt Fired by Jesse Trejo, ceramic, $1,800. Cutaway by John Vinklarik, relief, lithograph, $700. Obituaries. Juanita Kilpatrick, 96, of Midland, passed away on March 13, 2023. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, March 24th, 2023. MCH Board will vote on legislation endorsement. The Medical Center Hospital Board is expected to decide Friday whether it will endorse proposed legislation that would create the legal mechanism to create a new mental health hospital district to oversee a new behavioral health center. In 2021, state lawmakers passed legislation that included $40 million for the new center, which will be constructed and built by hospital districts in Midland and Ector counties. Medical Center Hospital CEO Russell Tippin and Russell Myers, president of Midland Memorial Hospital, are in the process of trying to secure the rest of the funding for this facility, which they hope to build on FM 1788. House Bill 492, which is sponsored by Midland Republican State Representative Tom Craddock, would create a mental health hospital district comprised of a Midland and Ector County Board of Directors. During a committee hearing last week, Craddock testified the area is in desperate need of mental health services. He indicated the 2021 legislation that gave $40 million to the project was rushed, and this new bill would help tighten up some details. MCH board member Wallace Dunn said there have been many meetings and planning sessions regarding the new Permian Basin Behavioral Health Center. Quote, this legislation does not create a new hospital district. It merely creates the legal mechanism to do so for the purpose of receiving the property from the state of Texas, end quote. Dunn said ultimately each hospital board, MMH, and MCH will have to eventually vote in favor of creating the new mental health hospital district. Quote, I fully support the building of the new facility and look forward to working with our partners at Midland Memorial Hospital on this joint venture between the Ector County and Midland County Hospital District, end quote. Medical Center Health System CEO Russell Tippin said Thursday, both he and the MCH board are concerned the proposed bill will create another unnecessary layer of government. However, they remain committed to partnering with Midland Memorial Hospital for the Behavioral Health Center, which will be partially funded by $40 million that was appropriated during the 2021 legislative session. Quote, we look forward to the beginning of the construction phase of the Behavioral Health Hospital and will continue to be a visible partner in this new adventure, end quote, Tippin said. Representatives of the Texas Facilities Commission testified last week they had no opinion on whether creating the new district is necessary. However, they said they will bend to, quote, whatever the will of the legislature is, end quote. Tippin said he and the MCH board want to thank Representative Brooks Landgraf, Republican Odessa, and Craddock for their work. Quote, MCH recognizes that behavioral and mental health services are severely underserved in the Permian Basin. We will be great partners with MMH and look forward to serving our patients in this new line of service. MCH will always protect our hospital, taxpayers, and the patient first, end quote. Landgraf agreed the mental health facility is desperately needed and said the hospital's board vote on a new mental health hospital district is important. Quote, I want to reflect what their view is on this process, end quote, he added. The future behavioral health center will not be impacted by Craddock's bill, Landgraf said. Quote, I want to be clear that the creation of the new mental health hospital district is a separate issue from the construction of a behavioral health hospital, end quote, Landgraf added. Quote, if they, the MCH board, are convinced the district is necessary, then I want to be on the same page with them, end quote. Tippin said the board will decide their position Friday and relay to Landgraf how they want to move forward. Quote, after the board looks at all the options, they will make the right decision, end quote. In 2021, Senate Bill 8, legislation directing how the state will spend federal dollars allocated to Texas under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021, was passed. Landgraf and Craddock worked together to ensure the mental health hospital funding was included in the final version of the bill. The center will include 100 inpatient beds and outpatient psychiatric care facilities, along with a crisis stabilization unit, professional offices, and counseling and therapeutic spaces appropriate for all ages. Texans who live in the Permian Basin currently have to drive to Lubbock or San Angelo to access similar care. Quote, in the weeks and months after the August 31, 2019 mass shooting, local leaders in Odessa and Midland identified the need for additional behavioral and mental health services in our region. COVID-19 put that discussion on hold momentarily. I'm thankful that we kept the drum beat going and that our communities have come together to accomplish this important goal. I'm proud of our work together, end quote, Landgraf said in 2021. The proposed hospital has had support from many foundations and the Permian Strategic Partnership. In 2021, Odessa's Colin Sewell and PSP Chairman Don Evans penned an op-ed that detailed their support for a new facility. PSP did an in-depth healthcare assessment that year that found access to behavioral health services and a shortage of specialists, such as psychiatrists, is one of the most urgent healthcare needs in the region. Governor in town. Abbott asks parents to support him on school choice. Starting off his remarks at Parent Empowerment Night at First Odessa Christian Academy Thursday, Governor Greg Abbott said he was there to talk about several things, but they all fell under one sentence: Mom and Dad are in charge. The event was held in the gym of First Baptist Church, where the school is located. Quote, I am a very strong supporter of public schools here in the state of Texas. I went to public school in Longview, Texas, and in Duncanville, Texas, and I've seen our public schools flourish extraordinarily well, end quote, Abbott said. Abbott said he has authorized more funding for public education and authorized more teacher pay raises than any other governor in the history of Texas. He added that per-student funding is at an all-time high. Quote, and we are in the middle of a session where we are going to appropriate billions of more dollars to fund our schools and more for teacher pay raises to make sure that teachers are going to be well compensated when this session is completed, end quote, Abbott said. When students were forced to learn from home during COVID, parents were watching the children fall behind, he said. Parents were also concerned by what was in some of those lessons. Quote, I don't know that that has happened here in Odessa. I do know that it's happened in multiple locations across the state of Texas, and that is this woke agenda being taught to kids, end quote, Abbott said. Quote, I think we can all agree that schools are for education, not for indoctrination, end quote, Abbott said. Parents deserve access to the curriculum in schools, books on the library shelves, and the lesson plans of everything that is being taught in their child's school, he told the crowd. Quote, we will do that with my parental bill of rights that we will pass, end quote. Quote, on top of all that, parents also deserve education freedom to choose the school that is best for their child, end quote, Abbott said. He added that it works through education savings accounts that have worked well in other states. Quote, these accounts are funded separately by the state of Texas, and in other states they worked so well. I created a version of it in the state of Texas during the time of COVID when I created these education savings accounts for students with special needs. That program worked so well, the legislature came back and they turned it into the law. In this session, they're working to provide even more funding for the program. Now we seek to expand that program so that every parent in the state of Texas will be able to choose the education that is best for their child, end quote, Abbott said. He added that all public schools will continue to be fully funded the way they are now, and there will be accountability, as with all things paid for with taxpayer dollars. When parents have a choice on where to send their children to school, the accountability is ultimately parental choice. Abbott said rural schools will have additional funding over and above what they have now. Mandy Drogan, campaign director of Next Generation Texas, part of the Texas Public Policy Foundation, urged everyone attending to let their state legislatures know their feelings on school choice. Drogan said there is a crisis of low expectations in schools. Parents need transparency, quality education, respect, and parent empowerment. New CNO synonymous with MCH. Not only was Kim Lefwich born at Medical Center Hospital, but she has made the hospital her home, so to speak. Lefwich was recently named Chief Nursing Officer and has been at MCH for 27 years. She went to Odessa College and graduated with her associate degree in nursing in 1997. She earned a bachelor's degree in nursing in 2000 and her master's degree in nursing, both from Texas Tech University, in 2006. Lefwich topped it off with a doctorate in leadership and management from Capella University in 2013. Lefwich said MCH is the only hospital she has ever worked for. She started as a licensed vocational nurse in pediatrics on the night shift and rose through the ranks to become Associate Chief Nursing Officer before becoming CNO. Becoming Chief Nursing Officer wasn't a specific goal, but as Lefwich grew in her career and education, CNO was the path she embarked on. In college, like most young people, she wasn't sure what profession to choose. Her mother suggested becoming a nurse and said Lefwich would be good at it. Quote, and there we went. That's what led me into it. That's what I tell some of the new orientees, is you just never know what's going to take you. I enjoy every minute of it, so maybe my mom saw something that I didn't, end quote, Lefwich said. Over the years, she has worked in all areas of maternal child care, nursing education, and medical telemetry on 7 Central, which became the Texas Tech Unit in Medical Oncology. Quote, it was completely out of my comfort zone because I was used to moms and babies and NICU babies. So that was offered to me. I took that over, and then in 2016, I also took over medical oncology, and I was the director of both of those units. I did that until 2019, and then in 2019, I became the associate chief nursing officer, end quote, Lefwich said. She started with 8-hour shifts, but that was converted to 12-hour shifts, which was easy in her 20s. As CNO, Lefwich has oversight of all things nursing and anything that is patient-related. Quote, it's not only budget and initiatives. We're on a magnet journey, so that is a big component of it right now. If you don't know what our magnet journey is, it's a kind of a certification of excellence for what we do as far as nursing and really as a health system as a whole. We have a lot of quality indicators in nursing. What that means is a decrease in our surgical site infections. No central line infections. We want to have good outcomes and no falls, that kind of thing, so anything patient-related. What the magnet journey does for us is it kind of accumulates all that and gets us together our data and tell our stories of how we met that metric. If we don't have any falls, that's amazing. How did you accomplish that? It's kind of like an excellence in nursing journey. I collaborate with the rest of the executive team, whether it's the COO, the CEO. We work to improve the organization as a whole and as a team, end quote, Lefwich said. Quote, I'm no longer just focused on nursing, but how does nursing integrate with the rest of the organization as far as with our other support areas, whether it's housekeeping, engineering, and how do we all support each other to make this place function and we get through day to day, end quote, she added. Lefwich replaces Kristen Abbott-Timmons as CNO. She noted that being associate CNO has made it easier to be chief nursing officer. Every bit of her career has been a stair step to her current job. She didn't plan to become CNO when she was in nursing school. Quote, you grow at each level, and you move to the next, and you learn something. I don't know everything. That's why I have a bunch of people under me supporting me. Each thing that I've done in my career has added to my knowledge to get me through in this. Being here for 27 years has been, I think, a big support of me being CNO, because you learn the culture, the people, the physicians, how things function, end quote, Lefwich said. Her first year in this role, she said, is about reestablishing the hospital's foundation post-COVID. Quote, we got through the whole survival of being a nurse, and now it's getting back to our basics and getting back to our patient care. What we do at the bedside is our foundation. From there, we will focus on other initiatives. I'd like to see our maternal service line grow. Month over month, we are having more and more deliveries. That is a project of mine, so that's one thing I'd like to see in my tenure. We've grown it so much, but we have so much further, end quote, Lefwich said. She added that she and the new chief medical officer, Dr. Meredith Hulsey, have a fantastic working relationship. They'd like to translate that into building relationships with physicians and nurses to achieve better patient care and a better organization. Filling nursing vacancies is always a challenge as well. There are currently 70 open nursing positions, which is down quite a bit. MCH was well into the hundreds during COVID, Lefwich said they have had people come back. Quote, we have some great nursing schools around here. I think that nursing as a whole has become a more demanding field. Our patients are definitely sicker than they were when I started, by leaps and bounds. They have much more comorbidities. This is a county hospital, so we focus on the unfunded, and getting them the care and treatment that they need is always going to be a challenge. But we rise to the occasion around here. We take care of everyone. It's difficult in the demands of people in their care and what they expect. It also reflects back on the bedside. Nursing is not an easy profession. It's an extremely rewarding profession for sure. I love every minute of it, but it is very demanding. If you want to just hang out, it's not that kind of a job at all, end quote, Lefwich said. There are many factors that go into why patients are sicker. Weight is an issue, as it can lead to high blood pressure and diabetes. Quote, all of those things just branch out into heart disease. It's like one thing just dominoes into the other. I can't say I'm a super example of this, but we have to get up and move and exercise and eat right. It's just all those foundational things. And when you don't, you're going to have health issues. Our society is becoming very fast-moving. Everybody is on the move, and there are more demands on everybody. It doesn't even mean just nursing. We want the quick fixes for everything. That includes some of our health choices. That reflects back here when we have them admitted to the hospital. We're seeing a lot of younger people with heart disease and high blood pressure and diabetes, end quote, Lefwich said. There's a reason now why people are in the hospital. Quote, there's a lot we need to do to get patients out quicker. So upon admitting you to the hospital, we're trying to figure out on the day of your admission what we need to support you outside of here to make sure that you don't return. Not because we don't want you back, but we want you to be healthy on the outside and have other resources to make you successful, end quote, Lefwich said. The hospital recently had a successful pop-up job fair, which attracted 4 phlebotomists and has plans to get back into the community. There is a job fair coming up March 29th at George H.W. Bush New Tech Odessa, and she said Midland ISD also has reached out. Quote, we're getting back into the community and letting everyone know some of the draws and options that we have to come to work here, end quote, Lefwich said. Lefwich is married to Chris Tovar, MCH ProCare Divisional Director. CEO/President Russell Tippin said Lefwich is synonymous with MCH. Quote, she has spent her entire career here at MCH. You could be hard-pressed to find someone more qualified and more deserving of the role of Chief Nursing Officer than Kim. She cares about this place, she cares about Odessa, and most importantly, she cares about the people of West Texas, end quote, Tippin said in an email. Leaders in State Spotlight this week. Ector County ISD is in the state spotlight this week with Wilson and young middle school teacher Kaylee Tate testifying before the State Senate Education Committee and Superintendent Scott Murray participating in the state legislative conference today. During his media call Wednesday, Murray said Tate, a sixth grade English language arts teacher, had an opportunity to testify before the Senate Education Committee Wednesday about Senate Bill 9. Quote, one of the items embedded in Senate Bill 9 is an opportunity to create a fully funded teacher residency program throughout the state of Texas, end quote, Murray said. Quote, as our local community is well aware, ECISD, in partnership with the University of Texas Permian Basin, currently operates a paid teacher residency program, end quote. Quote, Kaylee was one of the teachers who successfully completed that and is now teaching at one of our schools. Last year, she was a resident and spent a full year learning from one of our very best teachers. This year, she has been hired at Wilson and Young Middle School to serve the sixth grade students in the English Language Arts program. We're incredibly proud of Kaylee and her work, incredibly proud of her accomplishment Wednesday. Getting to testify before the Texas State Senate is quite an honor. She did a great job not only telling her story of her experiences in ECISD and specifically through the teacher residency program, but more especially about this opportunity that we have in Texas to provide fully funded residencies for teachers across the state, end quote. Murray noted that Texas is experiencing a teacher shortage and more opportunities have to be developed to cultivate and develop teachers within that pathway. ECISD has created a variety of pathways for teachers and other needs, such as diagnosticians and speech therapists. There also are high school students participating in a teacher pipeline. This provides a chance for students interested in the profession to earn a high school diploma and an associate degree at Odessa College. Quote, when they graduate from high school, they'll be halfway home to becoming a teacher in ECISD. We are working with our state legislature to encourage additional funding for these pipelines, end quote, Murray said. He noted that teacher residents are better equipped than student teachers for that first day of school. Quote, it's all about the length of time and the quality of experience that those candidates have, end quote, Murray said. The teacher residency is the student's senior year of college, fully funded, and they are paid for the service they are providing, he said. Quote, think of the apprenticeship model as a big umbrella, and teacher residencies are a piece that are underneath that big umbrella. The teacher apprenticeship program creates the structure, and the funds are provided by the federal government. The federal government has added to the Workforce Commission the role of teacher. So now funding is provided by the federal government for those interested in becoming teachers, and that's through that apprenticeship umbrella, end quote, Murray said. Quote, a teacher would participate in a teacher residency program, a year-long residency that is a part of that big overarching apprenticeship umbrella. You can have teacher residencies standing on their own. That's what we currently have, but we will soon, thanks to the Permian Strategic Partnership, have the overarching umbrella of apprenticeships. We will establish that with local colleges and universities to create a program that will allow anyone who participates to have access to funding for their college experience. That piece is forthcoming, but the residencies will fit underneath that larger umbrella, end quote, Murray said. Murray will be part of a panel discussion today at the Texas Legislative Conference in New Braunfels. He will join economist Ray Perryman in a panel discussion about sustainable economic growth in Texas. Quote, my opportunity is to talk about education and how education impacts the economy in the state of Texas. And then, specifically, the sustainability of the work we're doing not only in public education, but just the nature of education and its contributions to ensuring we have a sustainable economy, end quote, Murray said. He said the discussion is about the investment the state makes in education and how education plays a critical role in the state economy. Quote, education is an economic driver in our own state. The research is very clear. The higher the education level that one attains, the more opportunities to earn a higher income. So quality education equates to higher income and more opportunities to earn a larger wage. So education is equated to economic sustainability. The conversation is really not about funding education as much as it is about the value of education and the economic situation of the state of Texas, end quote, Murray said. Vouchers are a political topic that public education is dealing with today. Quote, there is some pending legislation that speaks to vouchers, and there is a proposal to bring vouchers to the state of Texas, certainly as a system that is not something that we would support. There isn't evidence that talks about its effectiveness. It certainly removes dollars from public school children. We wouldn't support something that is detrimental to the children that we serve in our own community, end quote, Murray said. Oxy Food Bank partner to launch mobile pantry at Crockett. To promote healthy eating habits and address food insecurity among children and families in the Permian Basin, the West Texas Food Bank and Oxy have partnered to activate the new Oxy Farmers Market Mobile Pantry Truck with a launch event for students at Crockett Middle School, CMS. On Friday, March 10th, the Oxy Farmers Market Mobile Pantry made its debut at CMS, offering students a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables that are both delicious and healthy. In addition, West Texas Food Bank provided students with the opportunity to learn about how fresh produce is sourced, how to incorporate healthy fruits and vegetables into their meals, and the nutritional benefits of eating healthy whole foods. Quote, Oxy is excited to partner with West Texas Food Bank to introduce our new Farmers Market Mobile Pantry, end quote, said Samantha Lombardo, Director of Community Relations and Employee Engagement. Quote, Oxy is committed to addressing hunger and food insecurity in our communities, and we are thrilled to celebrate the launch of this new mobile produce pantry with the students of Pecos, Barstow, Toya, ISD. The new Oxy Farmers Market Mobile Pantry will serve 19 counties in West Texas, delivering fresh produce and whole foods to thousands of children, seniors, and families in need throughout the Permian Basin, end quote. CMS students also engaged in various interactive stations to sample a variety of fresh produce and view healthy cooking demonstrations provided by West Texas Food Bank. Oxy's volunteers also distributed eco-friendly reusable lunch kits and a family-sized bag of farm-fresh produce to all staff and students, providing them with the opportunity to share the importance of good nutrition and how it positively affects their overall health and well-being. Quote, we are thrilled to have this unique opportunity at Crockett Middle School, end quote, said Superintendent Brent Jaco. Quote, Oxy and the West Texas Food Bank have been great community partners to PBTISD, and we are ecstatic they chose CMS for the debut of the Oxy Farmers Market Mobile Pantry, end quote. The mobile produce pantry will travel to many locations across West Texas, making fresh fruits and vegetables available to those who may not have access to healthy food options. Oxy and the West Texas Food Bank believe everyone should have the opportunity to make healthy food choices, regardless of location or income level. Quote, the West Texas Food Bank is happy to unveil the Farmers Market Mobile Pantry to our community, end quote, said Libby Campbell, CEO of the West Texas Food Bank. Quote, we wouldn't be able to continue to bring such innovative modes of education and feeding our community without our partners like Oxy. This truck will be the first of its kind in West Texas. Not only will we be able to bring thousands of pounds of fresh produce throughout the 19 counties, but we will also bring components of education, curiosity, and healthier habits to those who may not have access in rural communities. Oxy continues to touch so many lives in so many ways, end quote. The WTFB exists to collect, purchase, and distribute food to feed the hungry in 19 counties in West Texas in partnership with volunteers and community organizations, and to educate these partners and the public at large about the real face of hunger. WTFB's vision is a West Texas without hunger. For more information, visit West Texas Food Bank's website at WTXFoodBank.org. Oxy is an international energy company with assets primarily in the United States, the Middle East, and North Africa. Oxy is one of the largest oil producers in the U.S., including a leading producer in the Permian and DJ basins and offshore Gulf of Mexico. Oxy is committed to using their global leadership in carbon management to advance a lower carbon world. Visit oxy.com for more information. STEM sets second annual car show. As a fundraiser for its National Junior Honor Society, the STEM Academy is hosting a car show and silent auction for 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. The campus is located at 4940 South Road at the UTPB entrance at University Boulevard and Oakwood Drive. There will be awards for Best in Show, Best Paint, Best Engine, Best Interior, Top 10, People's Choice, and STEM's Choice. There will be seating and basketball. It's $30 to enter a car, but it's free to get in. All the proceeds go to NJHS. Plans are to use the funds for a larger group to attend leadership conventions. Amanda Hart, a STEM teacher, is one of the sponsors for NJHS. Hart Rods Custom is the event sponsor. Last year, there were around 15 to 20 cars. This year, they're hoping for 60 to 70 cars, Jason Hart said. Amanda Hart took over the show this year, and her husband is Jason Hart of Hart Rods. Quote, he's made sure we've got trophies and awards, just all the little organization parts to it, end quote. Amanda Hart said. Jason Hart said they made custom awards that were hand-built. Quote, I made the metal work that we had a professional pinstriper to pinstripe them for us. End quote, Jason Hart said. O'Reilly's Auto Parts will be donating some other trophies for the general public pick and for other categories, such as the STEM choice. Chris Ray, State Farm, is also offering giveaways. Seventh grader Jackson Riggin, the National Junior Honor Society president, helped out with the silent auction last year when he was in sixth grade. He said his family is really into cars, but Riggin is more into sports. Quote, since that car show was our biggest thing last year, Miss Hart and I have decided we'll make it bigger and better this year by adding more trophies, handcrafted like they said, and the food trucks, end quote, Riggin said. Quote, if anyone wants food, they don't have to leave or anything, end quote, Riggin said. Amanda Hart said five food trucks will be coming in, and the seventh grade coordinated that as part of their fundraiser. Sixth grade is having a silent auction. One of the many items is three $50 gun cleanings and a barbecue basket. Jason Hart said he visited with many of the local car clubs to get the judges for the show. Quote, we've got several small businesses that have pitched in and helped, end quote, Jason Hart said. Riggin said last year they didn't have a lot of people. Quote, this year it's going to be a lot bigger and there's going to be a lot more cars coming in, end quote, Riggin said. Students who want to get their community service hours will be helping parking. Middle/high school principal Cody Griffin said they want to make the car show a community event. Quote, we put it out on our social media. We're reaching out through you guys to make sure people are aware it's a community event. We want people to come over to our campus. We want them to see the cars and just have a fun event on a Saturday, end quote, Griffin said. Odessan accused in armed robbery. A 37-year-old Odessa man was arrested Wednesday in connection with a November armed robbery. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a man told officers on November 19th that two men in a sports utility vehicle offered to give him a ride after one of his tires went flat. But when he got into the vehicle, one of them pulled a gun on him and forced him to withdraw $300 from an ATM machine. Using surveillance footage from the ATM, officers identified Raimundo Aiden Sanchez as the gunman, and an arrest warrant for aggravated robbery was issued, the report stated. On Wednesday, officers arrested Sanchez at an apartment in the 4600 block of North Dixie Boulevard. According to the report, Sanchez found 2.4 grams of methamphetamine in his pocket. Sanchez was booked into the Ector County Jail on the warrant and on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance. He's being held on surety bonds totaling $40,000. Coalition Chief, low literacy is a social issue. There is a direct correlation between low literacy and poverty, food insecurity, and crime, among other societal issues. John Trichetti III, Executive Director of the Literacy Coalition of the Permian Basin, told the Early Childhood Action Network Thursday. ECAN, an offshoot of the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, met at Region 18 Education Service Center. Quote, those things go together, end quote, Trichetti said. Quote, they cannot be separated. It makes it more comfortable for us to separate those things and silo those things. But the reality is all of that is the same, end quote. Trichetti said low literacy is a social issue and students come out of school unable to read. He added the Literacy Coalition has worked with the Drug Court and Teen Court to provide literacy assessments to their clients. Quote, it's a captive audience for us, pun intended. They can provide those. When we get a literacy assessment of those clients, we give that back to the judge. They are more likely to be able to create a plan for that individual that they can stick to cut down on recidivism, end quote, Trichetti said. When they get out of the court system, they can become productive members of society and add to the tax base, he added. Quote, that's a win for the community and for everyone involved, end quote, Trichetti said. Not being able to read prevents you from passing truck driving tests and reading things like prescriptions, doctor's notes, and other basic items. One-third of kids that are born in poverty stay there. Quote, about a fifth of the world's population doesn't have the ability to read and write, two-thirds of which are women and children. Disproportionately, women and children are at a disadvantage when it comes to education. Three out of four students who exit third grade, not on grade level, never catch up. That is the line of demarcation, people. That's why ECAN is so important. 90% of brain development happens before five, end quote, Trichetti said. He added that that's why the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin's Power Bag initiative is also necessary. Trichetti said the Literacy Coalition has now taken over power bags, which are distributed to parents of newborns at the hospitals. The purpose of the initiative is to encourage the community to read, speak, and interact with children as frequently as possible, beginning at birth. The coalition plans to enhance and grow the content of the bags. POWER stands for Power of Words and Early Reading. Quote, there's so much that needs to be done with kindergarten readiness, because if the kids start behind in kindergarten, it's a big push to get them to grade level by third grade when it really matters, when the standardized testing starts, and then beyond. When we start to talk about kids that are interfacing with the juvenile court system or that are problem kids, those kids are these kids. We're doing them a disservice. 90% of welfare recipients are high school dropouts or low literate, end quote, he said. Quote, the data just continues to prove out everything that we think and know about. I was talking a little about turning the page. This is something that I'm personally passionate about. Basically, over the last 20 years, we've increased prison spending 570%, but the amount on public education, 33% in the same time. I wonder what happens if we flip those percentages. The United States Federal Bureau of Prisons forecasts the number of jails that they need to budget for the next 10 years based upon the third grade reading level in this country. It is indicative of everything that we do, end quote, Trichetti said. He said America only leads the world in two statistics, the number of people that are incarcerated and the amount spent on defense. Quote, America does not lead the world in any measurable education outcome anymore. And so there's this rose-colored glasses view of what's going on in this country when it comes to literacy and education. And we have to be able to have that hard conversation. And I acknowledge it's a hard one. It's hard to say we failed the generation of kids and now they're adults and they can't read. But we have to be able to have that conversation or we're never going to change anything, end quote, Trichetti said. These conversations make people uncomfortable, and so they put them aside and think of them as someone else's problem, he said. quote, until we can address some of those things, we're really not going to ever change anything, end quote, Trichetti said. Sense and Sensibility, famous Jane Austen adaptation to take the stage at MCT. Midland. This week, a playful new adaptation of Jane Austen's beloved novel, Sense and Sensibility, will hit the stage at Midland Community Theater. The play, which will take place at Maybe Theater 2 at MCT, begins at 7:30 p.m. today and continues until April 15th with 9 shows total. The show, put on by the Pickwick Players at MCT, follows the fortunes, as well as misfortunes, of the Dashwood sisters, including sensible Eleanor and hypersensitive Marianne, after their father's sudden death leaves them financially destitute and socially vulnerable. Set in gossipy late 18th century England, the show is full of humor and emotional depth. The director of this production is MCT regular Bill Williams, who also directed A Monster Calls last fall and Matilda, the musical, last summer. Quote, it's been a great experience working with the cast and crew to bring this classical novel to life on stage, end quote, Williams said. Quote, we have had a wonderful rehearsal process and are eager to have an audience see the results of these young actors' hard work and dedication to this project, end quote. William said he always wanted to direct a piece by Austen and said that with this group of actors, it seemed like a good fit. Quote, when I discovered this script, I thought it was a good adaptation that allowed for some creativity in the way it could be staged, end quote, William said. Quote, it also offered our actors an opportunity to grow by portraying these particular characters, end quote. Auditions began back in late January and rehearsals started in early February. The cast and crew have been rehearsing for 3 hours for 3 to 5 days a week. Quote, rehearsals have been fantastic, end quote, Williams said. Quote, it has been a real group effort in discovering interesting ways to stage the scenes and digging into characters and motivations. The story takes place during a time period when there were different customs, standards, and perceptions of the world. It has been exciting to have our group learn more about this particular time in history, end quote. For the most part, the show is faithful to the original story. Quote, the adaptation is true to the storyline, but it has a modern energy and leaves plenty of room to add some interesting twists and turns that should keep an audience on their toes, end quote, Williams said. There are 15 total actors in the play, some of who are playing double roles. The lead characters of Marianne and Eleanor are both double cast. Karen Ortega and Reagan Sockwell will be playing the role of Marianne, while Paula Padron and Jenna Perea will be playing Eleanor. Quote, I'm really excited, end quote, Sockwell said. Quote, this is my second show with the Pickwicks, and it's really important to me because this is my first big speaking role, and I love my cast members. They've been really amazing. It's really exciting to act alongside them and share the story with them, end quote. Sockwell is currently a freshman at Midland Freshman High School. Her last production at MCT was A Monster Calls. Sockwell described her character as, quote, very dramatic, end quote. Quote, she states her opinion, end quote, Sockwell said. Quote, what she says is what she's going to go with. She doesn't take anything from anyone, end quote. For Sockwell, doing the dramatic scenes has been her favorite part of playing Marianne. Quote, they're fun to act out and put my own twist on, end quote, Sockwell said. Perea is currently a sophomore at Midland Classical Academy and was surprised to find out she was playing the lead role. Quote, I really love to do all things period drama, including Jane Austen, but to do one of these shows, it's such a phenomenal experience and to play the lead, end quote, Perea said. Quote, I didn't think this would happen. It's so wonderful, end quote. Perea has done several shows with MCT, including The Music Man and Matilda. She described her character as one that likes to, quote, keep most of her feelings inside, end quote. Quote, sometimes she'll let a few out, end quote, Perea said. Quote, there are a couple of characters in this show that she dislikes, so she'll act a little differently around them. What she doesn't want to do is let her emotions hurt her family, like her mom and two little sisters, and then at some point it explodes out of her, end quote. Playing the roles of John Willoughby and John Dashwood is Midland Trinity School sophomore Anthony Mixer. Quote, John Dashwood is the inheritor of a fortune who leaves the two sisters, the main characters, to fend for themselves, end quote, Mixer said. Quote, they lose all their money and pretty much the cause of the entire commotion, end quote. Willoughby, on the other hand, is the love interest of Marianne, although Mixer didn't want to give too much away about that character. Quote, I don't want to spoil anything, but he is indeed a character, end quote, Mixer said. Williams talked about some of the obstacles from rehearsals. Quote, I would say the major challenge was to try to get a group of modern teenagers to understand and buy into what it takes to play characters from the early 19th century, end quote, William said. Nevertheless, he's eager to get this show on the stage for the audience to enjoy. Quote, it is always fun to work with the Pickwick Players, end quote, William said. Quote, they are such a talented group, and they bring their best to every project we work on. I am extremely proud of all of them, and I can't wait for them to be able to showcase themselves to the community, end quote. For tickets and other information, go to tinyurl.com/5m3bwezu.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.